On the 24th of February, 1815, the lookout of Notre-Dame de la Garde signalled the three-master, the Pharaon, from Smyrna, Trieste and Naples. As usual, a pilot put off immediately, and rounding the Château d'If, got on board the vessel between Cape Morgion and the Isle of Rion. Immediately, and according to custom, the platform of Fort Saint-Jean was covered with spectators. It is always an event at Marseille for a ship to come into port, especially when this ship, like the Pharaon, had been built, rigged, and laden on the stocks of the old fossé, and belonged to an owner of the city. The ship drew on. It had safely passed the strait which some volcanic shock had made between the Isle of Calasareigne and the Isle of Jaros, had doubled Pomègue, and approached the harbour under topsails, jib, and foresail, but so slowly and sedately that the idlers, with that instinct which misfortune sends before it, asked one another what misfortune could have happened on board. However, those experienced in navigation saw plainly that if any accident had occurred, it was not to the vessel herself, for she bore down with all the evidence of being skilfully handled, the anchor ready to be dropped, the bowsprit shrouds loose, and beside the pilot, who was steering the Pharaon by the narrow entrance of the port of Marseille, was a young man who, with activity and vigilant eye, watched every motion of the ship and repeated each direction of the pilot. The vague disquietude which prevailed amongst the spectators had so much affected one of the crowd that he did not await the arrival of the vessel in harbour, but jumping into a small skiff, desired to be pulled alongside the Pharaon, which he reached as she rounded the creek of La Réserve. When the young man on board saw this individual approach, he left his station by the pilot and came, hat in hand, to the side of the ship's bulwarks. He was a fine, tall, slim young fellow, with black eyes and hair as dark as the raven's wing, and his whole appearance bespoke that calmness and resolution peculiar to men accustomed from their cradle to contend with danger.
"Ah, is it you, Dantès?" cried the man in the skiff. "What's the matter? And why have you such an air of sadness aboard?"
"A great misfortune, Monsieur Morel," replied the young man. "A great misfortune, for me especially. Off Civitavecchia we lost our brave Captain Leclerc."
"And the cargo?"
inquired the owner eagerly. "Is all safe, Monsieur Morel, and I think you will be satisfied on that head. But poor Captain Leclerc!"
"What happened to him?"
asked the owner, with an air of considerable resignation.
"What happened to the worthy captain?"
"He died."
"Fell into the sea?"
"No, sir. He died of brain fever, in dreadful agony." Then, turning to the crew, he said, "Look out there! All ready to drop anchor?"
All hands obeyed. At the same moment, the 8 or 10 seamen who composed the crew sprung some to the main sheets, others to the braces, others to the halyards, others to the jib ropes, and others to the topsail brails. The young sailor gave a look to see that his orders were promptly and accurately obeyed, and then turned again to the owner.
"And how did this misfortune occur?"
he inquired, resuming the inquiry suspended for a moment.
"Alas, sir, in the most unexpected manner. After a long conversation with the harbour-master, Captain Leclerc left Naples greatly disturbed in his mind. At the end of 24 hours he was attacked by a fever, and died 3 days afterwards. We performed the usual burial service, and he is at his rest, sewn up in his hammock, with 2 bullets of 36 pounds each at his head and heels, off the island of El Giglio. We bring to his widow his sword and cross of honour. It was worthwhile, truly," added the young man with a melancholy smile, "to make war against the English for 10 years, and to die in his bed at last, like everybody else."
"Why, you see, Edmund," replied the owner, who appeared more comforted at every moment, "we are all mortal, and the old must make way for the young. If not, why, there would be no promotion. And as you have assured me that the cargo is all safe and sound, Monsieur Morel, take my word for it, and I advise you not to take £1,000 for the profits of the voyage."